And even, Kansas City pretty much told you, nah, you're not, bro.
You know for years that Kansas City got a stable. They got running back by committee.
Yeah.
They ain't got no.
And it was a running back committee, no thanks to you.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main reasons why they've been successful.
And not only did you do that, and not only did you do that in Kansas City, then you went to Tampa Bay and did it again. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I get a 2-time Super Bowl champion. Only
that
two.
Had nothing.
You got more rings than you had playoff snaps.
Go figure.
You got more rings than you had playoff snaps. That's it. Shout out to your agent. Your agent is on point.
Man. Come on, being at the right spot at the right time.
Yeah. All he's going to be remembered for having on the football pads and a t-shirt on the sidelines the whole game. Oh, well, they ain't calling his number for like nothing.
And you know who else? And who else's number we ain't trying to call right now? One Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, okay.
Go ahead.
Why in the hell do we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers going on a darkness retreat? Riddle me this. I've been hearing all week long about Aaron Rodgers going on some kind of darkness retreat.
Because he said he didn't want to talk nothing about football until he's back from this.
Basically desperate to stay relevant. That's all it is to it. There's nothing really new. But, I mean, you know, I mean, he's just trying to do something.
He's going to follow in Brett Favre's footsteps and end up being the Jets quarterback.
So,
it could be any number of things. It could be either that, or there's also talking about he may come back to Green Bay, but the only way that'll happen is if he try to get his boy back, Devontae Adams. But, or he... If he really wants to go another route, he could retire, which that'll save a lot of us a lot of headache.
Okay, let me save this whole topic a headache. The man's not gonna walk away from $60 million. The ball is in Brett Favre's court. He wants to stay in Green Bay,
you mean Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. If he wants to stay in Green Bay, he'll stay in Green Bay. That's where he's going to make, that's where $60 million lie. If he wants to get traded, and the New York Jets is willing to make that trade, then that is going to happen. But other than that, nobody's retiring when he got $60 million on the table. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, what you do. You're not walking away from $60 million bucks. Point blank, period.
I mean, we all know.
So retirement is not on the table.
He's playing somewhere. We all know that.
And he will play where he wants to play because that's how Green Bay set this up. This is how Green Bay bent. Oh, I can't even say this on TV. I mean, on radio. This is how Green Bay bent over for Aaron Rodgers. This is what they did. They signed up for this. So wherever Brett Favre,
A-Rod, if you want to.
Wherever A-Rod want to go is where what's going to happen. And so, this was just a publicity stunt to bring whatever awareness to know that, oh yeah, you can go on a darkness retreat too. So I hope wherever this darkness, wherever this resort is, that what he's doing, I hope they get their money worth out of this, because this was just a total, complete waste of sports energy.
And it's still not over yet.
Because that's what he's going to go. I hope he just goes to the Jets. I hope he does.
Okay.
I do believe they too deserve each other. Because it just seems the New York Jets is just a franchise that just likes to be a glutton for punishment.
What about Bobby Wagner? Where you can see him landing at?
Oh, Bobby.
But that was a mutual thing. That's respectable.
Yeah, because they couldn't pay him.
Oh, did y'all see the news about Russell that came out?
Oh, we're talking about wanting to get his coach fired?
And the GM.
Oh, that wasn't news. Yeah, he just denied those allegations now, but that's neither here or there, cause Russ is just doing Russ things right now. But Bobby Wagner's intriguing. See, because the Rams, they had no choice. The Rams are screwed. They ain't got no draft picks and no cap space. There was nothing they can do but, you know, just mutually agree to part ways. That's the only thing they could do.
That's pretty sad.
Same thing with the Tennessee Titans with Taylor Lewan and Robert Woods. That's the reason why Tennessee fired their GM, because they ain't got no cap space and nothing to show for but a bunch of one and done playoff exits. And my man Ryan I'm on another level, Tannehill. Yo, what up, Rev? Oh, Ryan Tannehill is one of my, I gotta wear that for the rest of my life. So, I'm forever team Tannehill, unfortunately.
Why?
Hey, sometimes you gotta ride the lie till the wheels fall off, man.
Didn't he already fall off before?
Nah, he's still playing.
Oh, well.
He can still pull a Kurt Warner on us, come back and win a Super Bowl.
Oh, he could
be. Forgive
him. He'll play, but see, which version shows up is the question.
It doesn't matter which version shows up as long as the team wins.
He could end up the Jets quarterback.
Who?
He could end up being the Jets quarterback.
Tannehill?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
One of their coaches got a lot of familiarity with a lot of these quarterbacks that's about to enter this free agent market.
Okay, so who y'all think's coming in number one?
As far as the draft goes?
Yeah, I hear CJ Stroud. I hear
Bryce Young. Bryce Young is another name you got to keep an eye.
But y'all know Chicago gonna go defense with that first pick.
But see, that's been another talk.
Or are they going to trade back?
Well, let's hope either.
They ain't gonna get a haul for that first pick if somebody wants Bryce Young. Somebody that's moving up, i.e. maybe a team that's going to lose out on this Lamar Jackson sweepstakes.
I mean, the only person I see them taking a step back from is just they flopping spots with Houston.
Do you think a team like the Colts? Do you think the Bears are going to trade down or, you know, give up the number one pick for, you know, with somebody else?
A hungry team like the Colts, even Washington.
No, we ain't that hungry.
You think so? You have a new offensive coordinator.
Well, we're not a quarterback.
And if you're gonna give Eric Bieniemy the keys like this, and he don't believe in what y'all got at the quarterback position, then yeah, you got to get this man what he needs.
Yeah, but you don't know if he's comfortable or not with what we got.
That's exactly.
And that's totally his decision to make.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he decides that, yo, I don't believe in Sam Howell, I don't believe in Taylor Heineke, we still have some wiggle room, some cap space. We could move up to get a couple of these guys. Yeah. This is when you do that, when you get a new offensive regime. You gotta give your offensive coordinator to work at something. So who's number two? Yeah, Chicago's number one.
Houston's number two.
Who's number three?
I have to look.
Oh, that's NHL. Yeah, we're going to look up the draft rankings. I know Philly's at number 10, right? Shout out to the New Orleans Saints. And I can tell you right now, if we can get Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle from Alabama, if he falls to number 10, while Kev was looking that up, my Philadelphia Eagles, while we still, I'm still kind of hurt. you know, yeah, that Super Bowl is going to stink for a while.
The Boo Birds.
Yes, the Boo Birds. At least we can cry about a Super Bowl loss. When was the last time y'all cried about a Super Bowl loss? Yeah, you know? Oh, yeah, don't.
Done for me lately.
Yeah, what have Washington done for us lately? Mm-hmm. We didn't spend the last 20 minutes talking about a squad that ain't done nothing ever since the last 25 years. Can we talk about a team that's done something?
Yeah, you had won the Super Bowl and lost one. A few of them.
Yeah. All in between last time we seen y'all. In.
That's all right, man. Look, we ain't talking history.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of history, the Studio W Sports page is brought to you by J&J. And y'all can't see this, but my dad got this sweet Lawrence Taylor jersey on right now. With the matching Giants hat. Is he a Giants fan? Hell no.
No.
My dad does not root for any team. He sells his fan loyalty to the highest bidder, and he is for sale at the moment. Mm-hmm. All right, what is it, that $100 per week? $200 per week. He'll rock your jersey. He'll rock your hat. What? He'll sing the fights. $250. He might sing the fight song for you.
You should have been in Philly with a John Morant jersey on.
We ain't gonna talk about John Morant for the next 10-15 minutes.
Save that for the next, yeah. We'll get into that part shortly.
Oh, yeah, I can't
that's
wait.
In
can't
my wait. House.
Oh, yeah.
This, yeah, me too.
That's gonna be interesting on that one. But as far as the draft order goes, here's what we got. Top 10. Okay, we got the Bears at number 1, Houston's number 2, Cardinals are at number 3, Colts number 4, rounding up the top 5 is the Seahawks, came from Denver.
Yeah, they might look for a quarterback, but go ahead.
Lions are number 6, courtesy of the Rams. 7 is the Raiders. 8 is Atlanta. No, the 9th draft pick is Carolina. And the last one, well, not the last one, the 10th spot goes to Philly.
All right, stop right there.
Okay.
Now, you just named at least 4 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That could be in market for a quarterback. You said Houston, yes, in the market for a quarterback.
Yep.
Cardinals got Kyler Murray.
Uh-huh.
4 is the Colts, right?
Yep.
5 was who?
Seattle.
Okay, we're not sure if Geno Smith is going to stay there or not. So yeah, they might be in market for a quarterback.
Lions number 6.
All right, they got Jared Goff.
7, they're going to probably need one too. Raiders.
Yeah, because Derek Carr's gone. We don't know who's going to be there.
Atlanta's number 8.
Okay, Marcus Mariota is done there.
And Carolina's number 9. So that's another one.
Yeah, so that's even more. That's like, what, 5 or 6? Right?
I can see 1, 2, 3. I would see maybe like 5 possible teams that might be.
Now, I said Seattle, too.
Yeah. I mean, I can throw that in there. I'd say give or take 5.
Yeah, because Geno Smith is a free agent, so technically they don't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm counting. Not only, I mean, I get it. Geno Smith had a good season.
Right.
Jared Goff wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But
they keeping Goff for that.
Yeah, I didn't count Goff. Okay. But Geno Smith, we don't know which direction they're gonna go in just yet.
Right.
So I said that's at least like 5 or 6,
mm-hmm,
out of that 10.
Yeah.
And even still, we don't even know if Chicago is going to keep Justin Fields, thanks to the media. I say they are.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that one.
Because it makes no sense that was even a topic. You know, Justin Fields had a pretty good season. And you're already, you know, building some key pieces around him. He's already there. So why would you try to negotiate a deal, and move him out and bring in another quarterback? It seems like a lateral move to me.
That doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, the thing about it was, he's just starting to come into his own. The main thing is you need pieces around you. You know, you need
better than Zach Wilson.
Oh God! He's like the worst one out of the bunch.
Zach who?
Zach Wilson from the Jets.
Oh my!
No, that was like the worst Thursday night football game I ever watched. it was a train wreck, to say the least. I forgot who they, was it Jacksonville, I think they
between.
Yeah, against the Jags.
The worst quarterback play I've seen all season long was between the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. I don't know whose quarterback situation was worse. Mm-hmm. I throw those two names out there because we could easily say the Houston Texans. We can easily say a couple other teams, but those teams, the expectations are a little bit higher than the rest of them. We kind of expected the New York Jets to take a step forward. Nah, if they was, it was a baby step there, and they tripped up and fell backwards.
Well,
we expected the Denver Broncos to take a step forward. Yes. They
just fell off the cliff.
Nah, they didn't tie their shoes. They got up and walked and fell flat on their face. Backwards. And unfortunately, the Denver Broncos are stuck with Russell Wilson, and they, just like the Green Bay Packers, walked themselves into this situation.
But now you got Sean Payton coming in as a coach.
I like that. And I like to hire Vance Joseph, too.
Now, wasn't he with the Broncos before?
Yes, he was. He was their head coach a couple of seasons ago and got fired.
That's crazy. And then you come right back as, the head coach didn't work out, so let's go with the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and more or less like, all right, we can't give you the full keys, but we just give you one part of it, you know what I'm saying? You got one job. You got defense.
That's interesting to me.
You got one job.
That's very intriguing.
Now, Vance Joseph, I got mixed emotions about him because he was in line for the Eagles job, and he probably more likely would have been the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles had he not went to Denver. Now, you look at it on the surface. I can't blame Vance Joseph because you got two contracts on the table. One says Philadelphia with Nick Sirianni. You got another one. In the other hand, that's Denver with Sean Payton. Nick Sirianni, mm-hmm. Sean Payton. Who are you picking? Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it 1,000. So I can't be mad at him. Now, Sean Payton is the more sexier name than
Sirianni.
Cause Sean Payton has won it all. He's actually won the Super Bowl, even though Nick Sirianni just, you know, came off a Super Bowl loss.
Well, I was about to say the experience factor.
Yeah, the experience factor that factors in. So
yeah.
he figures he has a much easier job. And on the back, and the defense for the Denver Broncos is a lot more, you know, you pretty much have a bigger, better idea of what you're working with. True. With the Denver Broncos defense. And, you know, they're like the second ranked scoring defense. And a lot of those players, I'm not sure their roster, but I know in Philadelphia's roster, we got a lot of retooling because we have a lot of starters that were on 1 year deals. So you pretty much know more. I would think that you would pretty much have a better idea of what you're getting in Denver than you would in Philadelphia. So I'm not mad at Vance Joseph. Hats off to you. Congratulations. We, the Philadelphia Eagles would have been happy with Vance Joseph because one reason, one reason only. Because we know Vance Joseph likes to blitz. And that's the one thing when you are in Philadelphia. And one thing we know for is one thing this fan base loves is an aggressive defense that loves to blitz. And that was not what Jonathan Gannon is made of. Jonathan Gannon was not Philly. Jonathan Gannon was softer than drugstore cotton. He did not want to blitz one. He didn't like blitzing. All of our sacks, you know, we had like 70 sacks, 60 of them came on 4-man rushes. So that's telling me this defense was dominant in spite of what Jonathan Gannon was throwing out there.
I was about to ask you that because I'm thinking that doesn't sound right to me because if he's not blitzing, but y'all were just destroying people on the defensive end all year long.
Yeah, 4-man rushes and we had a great defensive rotation. And that's easy and it makes it easier when your offense is scoring points. They keep your foot on the gap. You keep that 4-man rush because when your offense is scoring touchdowns, you're forcing the other offense to start, you know, more of a passing game. So that way you have, you know, you're pretty much pinning your ears back at that point.
Right.
And going 4-on-5. So that's how the numbers can get to that point. Mm-hmm. But that's what one thing I had about Jonathan Gannon all season long. Was he the right guy? Can he dial up this defense aggressively enough?
See, I never knew that. Hmm. Interesting.
But nah, we're happy that he's off in Arizona. Arizona has a tendency of screwing things up. So Jonathan Gannon, they should be real happy with that. I mean, Jonathan Gannon is so Arizona, he is not Philly. You know who is Philly? Rex Ryan, son of Buddy Ryan, who Philadelphia Eagles fans love, adore, will always have, always will. We will welcome Rex Ryan to our organization with open arms. This will be a legendary hire if he does this, and it'll be such the easiest move. Now, I'm not sure if Rex Ryan wants the job. I'm just gonna be honest with you, I don't know. But I feel like he is least owed or least low opportunity to even interview for. He is owed this job. If you want to make this fan base happy, you want to keep the noise down for the entire off season. This is the hire that you make. Cause you will satisfy the OGs in Philadelphia. The OGs will take care of the younger generation and we'll get that education, you know, going on. And I do feel that Rex Ryan can dial this defense up to our satisfaction. That would be my vote. I feel like it is his birthright to be our defensive coordinator. And there's a couple of other guys out there. I would love Lovie Smith too. But that's my list right now. I want Rex Ryan at number one, Lovie Smith at number two, and the defensive coordinator for Georgia at number three. And I'm kind of flip-flopping between two and three because, you know, we got Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. So we get the defensive coordinator from Georgia who coached those two guys to dial up that defense. I'd be happy with that too. But those are my top three, and I flip flop between two and three. But Rex Ryan, Lovie Smith, and a guy from Georgia.
I'm gonna tell you one thing. That right there was what I call a Studio W recruitment pitch.
Yes.
Right there. If that wasn't one of the best ones I've heard just now, ladies and gentlemen, take notes. And who knows, somebody up top might hear your pleas. That has happened before.
Yes.
Believe it or not.
Yes, yes. And please write that check out to Studio W.
There you go.
Yeah, we like that 10%. That 10%. Yeah, we need that.
That's going to mail right there, because that's all he's doing.
Oh yes. And like I said, hats off to Jonathan Gannon. How do you get your ass whooped in the Super Bowl and get a job?
Because you went to the Super Bowl and got your ass whooped.
Well, because
Houseway.
Because
Eric Bieniemy whooped your ass.
But he just happened
on the
to
biggest
make it.
Stage of them all. Jonathan Gannon gets a head coaching job. Eric Bieniemy gets another offensive coordinating job.
And assistant head coach.
But still, Shane Steichen lost the Super Bowl and gets a head coaching job. And I'm not hating on these guys, but I'm hating on these opportunities.
Yeah. Because that's a
slap in the face right there. You can win a Super Bowl and you're still not better than those guys. No, that's BS.
I can kind of sense where this one is going, and I can totally understand your point. Because I'm sitting there thinking, like, wait a minute. Something's not mathing over there because of what you just said. And I'm thinking, hold on, how you lose and get a top position versus saying you won the Super Bowl or you're part of a winning Super Bowl team and get something lower than a head coaching job? And that particular piece is like, wait a minute, hold up. And it kind of makes you sit back and like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now see, this is how you have to give credit to Eric Bieniemy on this. In that fourth quarter alone, mm-hmm. It was one, we got killed on one route. It was that, it, they call it a whip route. They ran it three different times with three different receivers and they flipped formations each side. And no matter whether it was Darius Slay or James Bradbury, they took advantage of it. And you know why? Because they did, Eric, this is how I know it's on Eric Bieniemy. They got that from watching film on us against the Jaguars in week two. Remember that on week two, Jacksonville went up on us 14-0. One of the plays was a touchdown pass that, it was the same whip route. They saw that. They saw what Philadelphia does because they know when they're in man, they like to switch.
Yes.
So they saw that switch and they seen that in Philadelphia when they switch, they're late on it. So they saw that. And I said, and they haven't seen another team do it since or take advantage of it since, but they see it how they, when they have to switch off. So they put that one route in just to take advantage of that one little kink in the armor. Mm-hmm. They laid on the switch and the third time Philadelphia, you know, and shout out to James Bradbury for trying to, cause he got held because he jammed too hard on the receiver. He actually held him twice on that play.
Oh yeah, well see,
he knew what they were trying to do, and he was trying to make that adjustment. Uh-huh. So at least on that third time they tried to make that adjustment instead of still getting beat on the same play over and over again. Which they end up doing. I can see where they tried to make the adjustment. They just failed on that third time.
Well, the weird thing about it was, because there was another play, which I totally, and sometimes when you have to go back, because, you know, the original time, you know, is so fast, Bradbury held Juju, several times the first time they missed the call, and because he held them. And see, and this was in the second quarter.
Yeah, but still, that's going back to Eric Bieniemy.
Right.
Eric Bieniemy is presenting that to the offense. The Eric Bieniemy was the one that was pointing those things out and said, this is what we can take advantage of and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. That was the work he was doing. But the work he's not doing because he's not getting credit for it because he's not calling the plays. Mm. They using that BS excuse. That's the reason why they're not calling the plays or he's not the play caller. But he's doing that work. But I'll show you, that's where he's coming in. That's what he's going to bring to Washington.
Right. What you just mentioned a minute ago was, in those two walk-in touchdowns, they weren't really talked about that much like it should have been, because those were the backbreakers to me, because those were 14 points right there on the table. And all they talked about was that last hole at the end of the game. But I'm thinking, this, like you said on CJ's show on Wednesday, it wasn't just that one play. We have to go back. And what I saw was the fact that them walk-in touchdowns were backbreakers for y'all. You know, in the fourth. You know? But both switched off. One was on the left and the other was on the right. And I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me.
It's the same play, but that's the reason why they was getting away with it, because they kept flipping the play.
Exactly.
They didn't go to the same side of the field. Guys, so they picked on Bradbury, then they picked on Slay, then they picked on Bradbury again.
I mean, and those were executed to perfection. Those plays. And I'm saying that.
And they used different receivers each time.
That's the beauty of it. It was beautiful.
One was Sky Moore. One was, Juju was the third one. Juju was a hole.
Uh-huh.
Sky Moore was first one. I think Kadarius Toney was the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney was the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and how does the Giants gotta feel to let that go? Cause Kadarius Toney, I mean, if it wasn't for Pat Mahomes, who had a Jalen Hurts-like performance and having the MVP, the real backbreaker was that kick return, that punt return.
Mm, yeah.
Because.
You can also affect, you can.
That was a backbreaker also. I kind of wish they'd have just let him run it all the way back, cause then we would have had more time on the clock. Instead of them having a chip shot, clock draining, you know, drive. Now, I'm not gonna lie. We still got the ball back and we went 3-and-out. That's on us. We had the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna point to one or two plays and say that we lost that game.
Oh, it was a whole lot you could pick. But remember, the whole key is when we watch a game, what I call a game within the game, you can point out the tiny angle somewhere. Like I say, you know, Romar could see something I might have missed. You could see something I missed, or you know, vice versa. And then he'd be like, "Wait a minute, okay." Once we reanalyze everything, and then that's what it comes down to. Then, you know, it could be anything at this point.
Okay, Romar. Hey, we got 20 minutes left, yo, man. I'm gonna give you the floor real quick. Let's talk some NBA action.
Okay.
I saw a clip we talking about earlier this week. Philadelphia, you know, was hosting Memphis the other night.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I hit you up on that one too, bro. Mm-hmm. I was hoping you was watching the game. I should have called you.
That block.
Instead of hit you on Facebook.
That block.
Very impressive block.
Was that a block?
Yeah, it was help defense, but he got back was, there.
What constitutes as a block? Because I saw a guy take the ball. The ball go up. It didn't go nowhere near the rim, though.
That was a cut.
And the ball, and when he brought the ball up, the ball went the wrong direction. Like, totally the wrong direction. It looked like he just handed the ball to Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid just dribbled the ball from like 10 feet in the air.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. But I guess he caught him in midair.
Was it an air steal or something like this? Did possession change hands before he touched the ground?
No. But it definitely looked like Joel Embiid was dribbling the ball coming down off of.
I mean,
taking the ball away from him.
Now I don't feel bad for people, because when you talk trash, you got to back it up. Now a few months ago, you know, John Morant has been famous for posterizing guys. He is a spectacular basketball player. Yes, he is. However, that was one of them dunks he wish he could have back. And I guess that tweet that he said, "Jump with me if you want to go viral," I guess he wants to have that back right now too.
Because Joel said he would jump with him.
Yeah, and he did.
And he went viral probably for the block. That is
great. Now, where is that rank? I mean, is there a dunk that Ja Morant did this year that was more popular or more exciting or more spectacular than that block Joel Embiid gave him?
Because he got some posters.
Oh, I mean, several people already got posterized by Ja this season.
Yeah,
but was that more spectacular than that block?
I think I don't know, because when I seen it, he knew what he was going to do. He had every intention on dunking that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
And Ja had every intention on blocking.
Joel left his man and went to play help D and met him. "I'm gonna meet you there, but I met you like 4 or 5 feet away from the rim."
You're like, "Hey, I'm gonna cut you off, bro. You're not gonna get this far. Let me help you out right now.
Not gonna be no Blake Griffin.
Let me save you some energy right now. You just stop right here, big fella. It's not gonna happen." But Philadelphia, they're here to make a statement. And
game last night, though? You know,
let's back before we talk about the game last night. Let's back up a little bit, because Philly has been in the news, and not just because of that block. Let's go back to this on All Star Weekend. You know, All Star Weekend. Shout out to Matt McClung, Philadelphia 76ers, for saving the slam dunk contest.
He definitely had brought the excitement back. I was glad to see that.
I was like, I basically skipped that, because I'm thinking, like, this is not meant for us anymore.
Mm-mm. It really isn't.
It's not. It's not like it used to be.
And you know why? Because it's not enough guys like Matt McClung to go in there and actually do what he's known to do. And that's dunk. There's not no stars out there that wants to go do the slam dunk contest.
I mean, we would have loved to see Ja get out there and do that too, but that's not happening.
I'd like to see Zion. I think Zion would probably do one.
Oh, he might get injured doing that himself. I don't trust that one.
But see, this is the problem with the slam dunk contest. All these guys that we're buying shoes for are not wanting to participate. We're buying Jordans, we're buying Zions, we're buying Paul Georges, we're buying Kevin Durant's, we're buying, well, Damian Lillard did do it once, but Damian Lillard got his own shoe, Luka got his own shoe, no, Kawhi got his own shoe. All these popular guys, they're not doing it. So if they're not going to do it, then the younger generation says, well, hell, if y'all don't want to do it, hell, I don't want to do it. Why am I mean, there's no incentive for me to do it. Y'all getting by if I'm doing it. LeBron's not going to do it. So if the top guys is not going to do it, then.
You talking about these guys. Some of them top guys, they old. They ain't got that spring that Matt McClung got.
Miss me with that. Well, LeBron's still going to try to do windmills and reverse 360s in game. He's trying to do all this stuff in the game. He could do it for a slam dunk contest. He could do that for his fans. He charging $200 for his shoes.
That all-star game was a complete joke.
That's where I ain't watching. I mean, I watched the highlights. I'm not going to sit down for 2.5 hours.
I watched the first quarter, and then I couldn't dig it.
I didn't watch the all-star game. I watched the three-point contest and the dunk. I watched it.
I YouTubed all of it.
I watched the dunk contest and the three-point contest and everything. I ain't watched the game, though.
I love the game, but I'm not watching it. I'm not watching nothing that doesn't feature defense.
You gotta have defense.
I'm not watching nothing that don't play defense. Cause that's just a layup line and a shooting drill.
Exactly. I'm like, seriously, you pay all this money for that?
No, I'm not doing that. If you're not playing defense, I'm not watching. And I don't want to hit. And I don't want to hear no Eagles Super Bowl jokes either.
I thought I was going to be in the minority on that last one. I think, and this is not meant for us, obviously.
No. Well, we the minority, because we weren't brought up like that.
No.
We're not training our kids to do that. Henceforth, that's why John Marshall blowing their out by 50. Cause they play defense.
Right. And you put full court presses on the whole game.
When the last time you seen a full court press in the NBA? It doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
It does not exist. And you know why? Because the athletes don't want to do it. Athletes don't want to play for a coach that does a full court press. That's why it doesn't get past college.
And this is why good, real good high school teams are more hungrier. You know, I mean, if you've seen the domination that they've been putting on all season long, my goodness.
You find one squad that'll do a full court press. I bet you they'll challenge for the Warriors record.
Well, like I said, I mean, they need to take notes from JM. They need to.
Winning record was winning all them states. That's what they did.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, we're talking about like this season. Well, I mean, and also shout out to Highland Springs too, because they also, I think, the Central Region champions also.
Yeah.
So shout out to them. We cannot overlook them also.
Come on, we need a new Northside Classic. John Marshall versus Highland Springs. What's happening?
Oh, I would pay for that. Oh yes.
John Marshall versus Highland Springs.
They don't want to do that in basketball.
Now, I would. We wouldn't want to do it in football.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. John Marshall would get annihilated in football.
That I'm not.
John Marshall would get boat raced by Highland Springs in football. Yeah. That's what's called spade to spade.
That is true.
They will beat the entire brakes off us. Brakes, transmission. No. Parents will sue after that game. Cause they baby can't do that. They baby can't walk no more. There's no way. I swear, that's like the Bring It On. That's like, if Bring It On was actually a high school, yeah.
Oh my God.
The band might be good, but that football.
Oh man. Shoot. Hey, look, we just coming for the band. The battle of the bands, man, is off the chain too. Don't sleep on that.
I actually,
and there's a lot of good ones out there too.
Yes, yes, a lot of good ones. Yes, it is. But I tell you like this, and not to get off the subject. But none of these bands, none of these high school bands today had Kennedy like Kennedy back in the day.
Nobody
want to see
Kennedy band back in the day.
Kennedy was that band back then. Back when we was in school, Kennedy had it.
They get the party started.
Yes sir. But yo, it's a Studio W Sports page brought to you by J&J. We got 10 more minutes in the building. I thought WB would be back because we was talking about Ja Morant. But I guess he got tired of. We'll get a statement from him later. So guys, what else is going on in the NBA?
That Clippers game was crazy last night. That Clippers and Sacramento game. That was real crazy. You know, for both teams to go over 170, like you said, Kevin probably won't no defense played.
Oh gosh.
Russell Westbrook made his debut with the Clippers, had 17 points, 14 assists.
Yeah.
Kawhi had 44.
Now, also keep
it. This is the most 40-point games in NBA history, like 145.
So far this year? Yeah.
Yeah, this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like Malik Monk dropped 45. De'Aaron Fox dropped 42. My biggest gripe is this. All right, you know, most of these games, late night games, we usually fall asleep. You know, 10:30, 11 o'clock, yeah, whatever, right? We wake up the very next morning. First thing we see on the evening, and I'm looking at the phone like, hold up. That is like one of the highest scoring, I think it's like the second highest.
In league history.
Yes. And that was against, now, Nate, you remember the who set the record the first time? Do you remember those teams by chance?
No.
The Nuggets against the Pistons, 186 to 184.
This had to be during the 80s.
I want to say the 90s, but I forgot what year it was. But either way, but like I said, now, my biggest gripe is this. And I've said this one other time on the show several weeks ago. When you look down the standings, the Kings are number 3 as far as the conference. Tell me why they have not gotten any TV appearances at all this season.
I mean, they probably do, but like you say, we might be asleep because you know.
No, I haven't seen anything.
You know if they, you know, they play at 10 o'clock, 10:30 our time. It's only
right, 7 but o'clock. But either way, I don't think know. Right. But one of us would have stayed away long enough to say or even check the listings.
They secretly are really one game from being in second place.
Now see. And it's the one team a lot of people is. I think that the networks have slept on them, thinking, well, they're not going to do much anything. They've had the longest playoff drought in history, whatever. No, well, and now look what happens. You know, it's crazy how you could be one of the worst teams in the league, or top 5 worst teams in the league 1 year, and then the very next season there's a resurgence. You noticed there's been a whole lot of that recently. Every year is always somebody that's going to have a comeback year out of nowhere. And it's lesser known players, you know? I mean, I'm just glad that, now, what was, Fox an all-star this season?
Check out this roster, though. They got a good roster.
And that's the part we've been sleeping on them.
Let me see this, what the roster is.
We got a good roster.
Sacramento.
But, let me ask y'all this.
Uh-huh.
Out the West.
Yes.
Who do y'all have the most faith in? Looking at the standings, who y'all got the most faith in out the West? Like, who's it really between?
We got to see what this looked like when KD finally get on the court in Phoenix.
I can't really pinpoint per se. But if I had to pick one, maybe the Nuggets.
Do you really have faith in the Nuggets? Even
maybe.
Though, all right, how much faith you got in the Nuggets? What have the Nuggets done? Okay. You got Nikola Jokic, who's about to be a 3-time MVP,
right?
And can't get out the West.
Has he even been to a finals? A Western Conference finals?
No.
I don't think so.
No, he hasn't.
The only teams, I'm going to speed this up a little bit. The only teams for real, that has that championship pedigree experience that's actually contenders right now that we're talking about are who? The Warriors and the Lakers. And they're shaky.
Well, yeah, they on the outside looking in.
Phoenix has never won it in their history.
Nope.
Utah's never won it. Denver's never won it. The Clippers have never won it. The Kings have never won it.
The Grizzlies have never won it.
So who do you really trust?
And that's the weird part. It's all in the air.
So as bad as the Lakers are, they are still contenders.
Now you want to know something else?
They still contenders for it all.
No, they contenders for the play in.
All you got to do, especially in the West, nine times out of ten, the number one seed ain't gonna even make it.
Well, they won't.
All they got to do is get in, and they're a problem. A healthy LeBron, a healthy KD. Then now they got some. Now they got some guys that can space it out a little bit.
You mean 80?
Oh, yeah, 80. 80? Yeah. Street clothes.
But you know what's funny? Now.
Now they got some guys to space it out. So now they can, you know, ain't got a guy, D'Angelo Russell. Is he a sharpshooter? No. Can he knock down more threes than what they got? Yes.
And Thursday was a true testament of how the potential is there. You know, yeah, you may be in 13th now, but you still got, and they're talking about this, the 23 most important games of my career. So basically, I think you have to go at least, 16-7 just to, you know, get to the play in, but it can be done. If other teams above you start losing and you start winning, the momentum's going to change. And I'm thinking, well, what's so funny? Is that LeBron a few years ago was complaining about the play-in, remember? When they were in the bubble.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now look what's happened, 3 years later.
In a way, he still got his complaints about the play-in because he's not talking about getting the play-in. He's trying to get to that 60 so he can avoid the play-in.
Well, he's going to have a long climb to get to that. I mean, the main thing is, as long as you in, you got to be in it to win it, is what they always say. And you got to start somewhere, even if it's in 10th place. That's a more reachable spot. And if the Warriors keep struggling, and remember, Steph is still out. So he'll be out for another week or so. That's going to be crucial. And Draymond didn't play either. I remember, didn't they lose? They won last night, but they lost on, they did win last night. I'm sorry, because Klay dropped, 42?
Yeah, but it's still, they're only, three games out the sixth spot. Three games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three and a half games.
Well, I wouldn't worry so much about the sixth spot at the moment. At least try to get, you have to chip away.
Yeah, but see, that's a more realistic expectation. That is a realistic expectation. You got 23 games to make up ground for three. And, you know, you got a game, and you just beat Golden State not too long ago.
You just won on Thursday.
Dallas, all right.
Now, that's a crucial.
Dallas is at the sixth spot.
Yes.
Dallas is going to screw this up. Because if you think that I got faith that this Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, you know, tandem is going to work.
It's working so far. It worked the other night.
Yeah, but how long?
But you also got to look at it, too.
Look how long it took for them to take to win with both of them on the floor.
Well, look at it. Well, the first time that both of them were together, the first three games either. Now, in the first time they played together, they lost. They lost to Sacramento, right before the All-Star break. So, afterwards, 5 days afterwards. But then again, you beat a crappy Spurs team. They're like the worst in the West.
Yeah.
So you got to take
If it wasn't for Houston.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, my dad's favorite on basketball team, but don't tell him I said that.
Yeah, well, you know.
He might write me off the wheel for that.
But no.
But yeah, Houston is a squad. Now, you know, he got so much love for Houston.
He wouldn't say, hey, I wouldn't want nobody to know that right now.
But yeah, that Lakers Mavericks matchup is going to be a test for both teams tomorrow.
No, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The Lakers are going to bully Dallas.
You think so?
Look, Luka is that dude. Kyrie has some of the best handles and one of the best at finishing at the rim for no small guards. One of the best drive layup packages there is. Mm-hmm. But I have zero faith that this duo is going to work together long term. Both of them need the ball. Both of them can't play defense. Dallas does is outscore folks. So I fully expect for, Lakers to spread the flow, get the ball down low post, because they're not going to stop it. Man, Dallas is so bad on defense.
Oh, God. Yeah, and the thing is, you cannot win too many games. You give up 120 points a game.
Yeah,
you're not going to.
Yeah, they can't stop a nosebleed at Kleenex convention. They is hard. they just pathetic. They don't even know what defense is yet. They gon'
Oh boy.
They unplugged. They play defense so bad. It looks like they just you're playing NBA 2K and then somebody's unplugged the controller. That's happened.
Now, I mean, on paper, it looks like it's something out of NBA Jam. You would think between, LeBron and AD versus against, Kyrie and Luka. You would think you see that on NBA Jam. But, again, this is going to be one of those another high-scoring affair. Whoever gets to 130 points wins. We don't see too many games nowadays. They hold people under 100. You don't see that much anymore.
No.
If you notice.
It's the era of the three.
Yes, it is the era of three. Hey, guys. It's time to, it's 11:59, man. And it's about time to ride this thing on out, man. So, I'm gonna give you guys y'all parting words before I play this music and wish everybody well. What's going on, fellas? Roma?
Have a good, safe, enjoyable weekend.
Okay. You okay?
Man, like I said, I'm just like excited for more sports this weekend. More college and pro. And all kind of good stuff. So, like I said, we'll see you guys next week.
Oh, yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. It is the Studio W Sports page. I love you guys. And we got the Tyson Fury, Jake Paul fight this weekend. We got more NFL action to talk about next week as far as, the draft, free agency. And hopefully by this week, somebody might get franchise tagged. I thought somebody, at least one person get franchise tagged. But that's not even here. We're going to talk about that next week. As far as March Madness, this is the last week of college basketball season. We are going to get into college basketball next week. But for now, for Roma, for Kevin, for WB, we love you guys. And we'll see y'all next week. And I'll also see y'all in church tomorrow. Y'all be good.